All right, here we go. The Chuck Hurley Sherry Elliker Show, and you ride along with us for the rest of the ride. And, my Dixie Chicken's not here. That can't be anybody's Tennessee Lamb. Sherry back tomorrow. Jake doing double duty again. Coming back in again after Friday's wild ride through. I listened back to the show, didn't I, Andrew? Because I sent you a text.
I said it was
bizarre. But here he is again. Jake, thanks for stepping back in again to the fray.
Hey, thanks, John.
Yes, sir. All right. You ready?
Let's do it. Let's go. We got
you
a lot
ready?
Of stuff.
Hey, got it. With the... All right. Well, a couple things. A whole bunch of stuff to get to. A little later on, Ryan's going to come in. Went to the Seahawks game yesterday. Very, very disappointed. Not in the Seahawks, but the Seahawks fans. We'll talk about that. Plus, we'll get to, the fact that Jack Stein has officially moved here. He's got stories from the road. We'll get to all that. But first, a 20-year-old is charged with 3 felonies for drive-by shooting. You might have heard about this in the news. Released after 30 years. You wish. 30 hours in jail.
Not quite.
And posted a $25,000 bond. So that you got to give 10% of that. So it's $2,500. What did this young 20-year-old man do to get himself in and out of jail so quickly?
So he basically, this is like one of the worst road rage incidents you've probably ever heard of. I mean, do you ever get involved in road rage, John, yourself?
No, but thank you.
Okay. Well, typical road rage might be a middle finger. He might, you know, zoom up on somebody and let them know that you have seen that they've done you wrong. This guy did something completely different. He got into an argument between two vehicles. He pulled up next to them at a he pulled up next to them at a stoplight, and then, according to the report, then fired bullets with a gun into their car.
Yes.
And so the bullets went into their car. Thankfully, the people in the other car were unhurt and tried to follow this guy for a little bit. They were able to get a description, a make of the vehicle. Apparently, it was a black Jeep or something. It didn't have any license plates on it, so they weren't able to identify it by its license plates. But the Snohomish County Sheriff's Office, because they were doing a great job, were quickly able to find the vehicle, like within 24 hours. Mm-hmm. And when they got to the vehicle, they were able to look in the back window. And this is the suspected vehicle, I should say. They looked in the back window. They identified a shell casing on the floor from a gun, apparently having been fired. And then, you know, they were able to get this guy and bring him in and arrest him.
Okay. So they get him. So all of that, and by the way, the gun, 2 guns, one of them was stolen from Puyallup. The gun that I believe he fired, he'd somehow modified. That was part of it as well. So they've got the car, which, by the way, did not have tags on if the car was stolen or not. They get the car, they get the guns, they get the shell casings, they get all that.
Yes.
This guy goes in there. He's 20 years old. And the judge, what's the judge's name?
The judge's name is, I believe it's Finn. Judge of...
Seth Fine.
Yeah, pro temp. So this is a judge that is not elected, not appointed. They can step in and basically it's like pinch hitting. You bring somebody in that's not one of the elected or one of the appointed. So Judge Fine goes in there, hears the case, and decides that this 20-year-old, the bail was set at $25,000, so you need 10% to come up, so $2,500. Out they go. They walk out. So this story interests us because you think, okay, is that guy, is the public well served by that individual? Again, presumed innocent. Is the public well served by having that person back out on the streets? Is the high likelihood or low likelihood that this person will reoffend again? That's the big question. And you wondered, why were they being charged with assault rather than attempted murder? So prosecutor has to prove intent. If you pulled out a gun and you shot somebody in the foot as opposed to the stomach, what is the intent of shooting them in the foot? Is it to injure them, to hurt them? That could be assault. Attempted murder is that you shot with the intent to cause the person to die. So in this case, the guy shoots into the back, 2 rounds into the back window of the car. Is that right?
Yeah, into the back of the car. Yeah.
Right. So you'd have to show the intent that the guy pulled out the gun, fired it into the back window with the intent to murder. That would be attempted murder, but in this case, you go with assault. So that's kind of the reason What's that?
Well, I was going to say, what's interesting about this, too, this case is, you know, Snohomish County Sheriff Adam Fortney was saying that they really did a stellar job here. Their job was to find the guy, whoever did this, and they did within 24 hours, and then they arrest him. And yeah. Then the prosecutor's office job is to assess how dangerous this person might be if he gets back out on the street. And then they're making their appropriate suggestions to the judge for bail. They were suggesting a $300,000 bail. And they said, hey, obviously this is a dangerous individual. Anybody who just being triggered on the road is willing to pull out a gun and fire at the person next to them is not somebody that we should probably trust to be out on the road. But the judge in this case, as you mentioned, he's a pro tem judge, but he decided, I guess he can get out for $2,500, which seems when I read that, I was like, this seems crazy to me. If I were to tell you that that somebody was brought in on charges of having a machine gun, which is illegal in Snohomish County,
machine gun, and the person had altered the pistol in such a way that he could fire multiple rounds of what he did.
Yeah. Not only was it a machine, it was an illegally, gotten gun. It was stolen from Puyallup. So he got it illegally. Then he has it converted, allegedly, to a gun that can fire multiple rounds, so it essentially becomes a machine gun. And, you know, this person allegedly fires it at the – we have to say allegedly – fires it at the people in the car next to him, and he's out in 30 hours. That's crazy to me.
Yeah. Hmm. So do we call pro tem judge Fine to find out what
– We did. We reached out to the Snohomish County courts, and they have not gotten back to us.
Okay, yeah. This comes up a lot, whether it's this judge or any other judge, that if you follow some of these stories, you think, okay, what's going through the mind of the judge? Do they feel as if this person, it starts with a standard of, is the public safe with this individual out? Chances of them reoffending in between the time that you let them go and then they've got to come back in for their court case? Or is the public better served if this individual is behind bars and less likely to reoffend again? It's very hard to follow. And if you ever read in the media, they hardly ever tell you the name of the judge. You have to dig deep, or you got to dig around to find out who the judge is, because ultimately this is where if the prosecutor and the sheriff's department do all their work, it must be quite disheartening, especially for the sheriff's department, that find the guy, catch the guy, arrest the guy, bring him in there, and then to have him know that he's back out on the street again. What's going on in the mind of the judge? That's why we would love to find out from Judge Fine what he was thinking when he saw that person standing before him that had fired the two rounds with the stolen gun. And I don't know if the Jeep was stolen. I know that the license plate was taken off the thing, but
you can't legally drive around without a license plate. I mean, that's another law broken.
Washington. We're not going to, let's not quibble.
Well,
but to follow some of these things, before Dory, before his untimely passing, he really got on this, and he was going to make it a priority to follow not only the judges that make these rulings, but then follow along with the individual once they get out. Did they commit another crime before they come back in again? And then if they're let back out again, this is most of the people that you hear about eventually going to jail have committed numerous crimes prior to eventually going to jail.
Yeah.
But if you see an increase in crime, as we've seen in Seattle, I think we're about to hit our homicide. I think are we tied already on homicides?
No, we passed it.
We passed it. Okay.
Yeah.
But most likely these are not people that are offending for the first time. So you've got the person that breaks the law, the people that catch the person that broke the law, then they go in, they get into the prosecutor's arms, and then through there to the judge. And then at that point, how much is justice being served? And so for Judge Fine, is justice served for the people of Snohomish and for the rest with this guy back out there again? Very hard to track it. Very hard. You have to put a lot of work into it. But I think the public would be really well served to see, because eventually you kind of want someone to be held responsible. The criminal is a criminal is a criminal. But like someone along the way, you think, oh, where's the crack in the system? Like, why is it failing, right? Why are we having record homicides? Why do we have record crime? Somewhere in there, the system seems to have a slight break in it.
Can I ask a couple stupid questions?
I would.
That's what we're here for. A couple stupid questions.
Now,
go.
Now, typically, these judges are elected, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
Often unopposed. Often unopposed.
Right, and I live in District 7. I vote. I see judges from time to time. What are the circumstances that allows somebody who is not an elected judge to sit in an elected judge's seat? Is it like a Jake coming in for Sherry?
Could be just a sick day.
No. Like a pro tem kind of thing?
Yeah, what does
like
that
this,
mean?
Like this lawyer? So you say that I would like to be a pro tem. You're basically on the list of lawyers that can then serve as a judge. You agree to uphold the Constitution of the state the exact same way. You raise your right hand. You do the whole thing. You're basically held to the same standards by the judge if the judge were in position. Sometimes the pro tem comes in because of either vacation, scheduling, illness, things like that. They've got to be able to move the cases through. So a pro tem attorney, now serving as pro tem judge, will sit in court.
Okay. We also have a huge backlog of cases in the state where, you know, they haven't been able to hear a lot of cases.
Right.
There's a lot of COVID stuff that like interrupted proceedings. So when they normally have like 2,500 cases that are backlogged, now they have like almost 5,000 now. So in that case, John, would they just bring in extra pro tem judges to help kind of clear that?
They could bring another pro tem judge in. But it's not just the pro tem thing. It also gets down to, like, for instance, Judge Ellis, right, appointed by Gregoire, been in there. Judge Ellis was the one. Mariner High School shooter released with $2,500 bail. This was in 2022.
Yeah.
This guy, I don't know how, 15-year-old kid pulls out a gun, fires it into a car there.
Very similar story, actually.
High school parking lot, and that judge, Judge Ellis, who ran completely unopposed, gets elected again, gives that individual a $2,500 bail. That's in 2022.
$250 is all he had to post.
Yeah, $250 because it's 10% or whatever the bail is. You know what's interesting about that too, John, is that in that case as well, like the one we just talked about with the road rage incident, that's Snohomish County Sheriff Adam Fortney also posted about that because that was in his jurisdiction. He said public safety remains a top priority and the youngest members of our community deserve to always be safe at school. I'm discouraged to learn the suspect, this is the 15-year-old we're just referencing, was released in less than 24 hours without an ankle monitor or any additional layer of accountability and protection for our community. Again, this is a kid who allegedly fired two shots into some other kid's car.
Right. What it does, it sends a signal to the 15-year-old. First, speaking to the person that allegedly commits these crimes, it basically says the system doesn't hold me responsible. The quote from the two individuals that ran down and killed the man on the bicycle in Las Vegas, as the one was heading into court, said this effing juvenile thing. I'll something like beat this system. You wait and see. I'll be out in 24 hours or less. And by the way, I don't know if that kid has gotten out, but any one of his friends sees this and then assumes, oh, you're never really held responsible. So go ahead, fire the gun.
Yeah.
They can't do anything for you. They won't do anything to you anyway. The system doesn't hold you responsible. But if you were a friend of the kid, the 15-year-old or the 20-year-old or the kids in Las Vegas, and you saw, whoa, my God, that guy went in juvie, or they're pulling him. He's going into general population. That's a messed up. That guy's going to do some time.
Yes.
Or you'd hear about it. You'd be less likely to decide that you're also going to violate people's safety and basically break the law.
We should.
So it's said that there are repercussions for these decisions. So for Judge Fine, Attorney Fine, now Pro Tem Judge Fine, you have sent a message to everybody. One, that you can fire a gun twice into the back of a car because of a road rage with a stolen gun, with a car that has no license plate on it, and you come up with $2,500, we'll send you back out into the public.
We're going to talk to later tonight on my show because I'm pulling double duty. So if anybody listening right now wants to tune in at 7:30, we're actually going to talk to Snohomish County Sheriff Adam Fortney. He's going to be on the show.
Oh, isn't that interesting? You saved your interview with him.
No. That's when he's available. He's going to be on tonight, 7:30.
No,
tonight, 7:30. He's a busy man. He's a busy man. Tonight, 7:30, he's going to take a little time away from whatever he's doing. He's going to come onto my show. It's not a big deal. I don't want anybody to think I'm holding off. Oh, boy. Thanks, Andrew. But here's a question I want to ask him, because they found this guy. He's got no plates on his car, and it's just a random incident. They found this guy within 24 hours. How did they do that? And what does he think the fix is?
Oh, I know. Can I answer that so people don't have to listen to your show?
No. I don't want you to answer that. That's a long tease.
Video.
That's a long tease. Listen here. Exactly.
I'm answering already.
4 hours from now.
They had video. Too bad.
It's better than that. It's better than that.
Can't put it on TikTok.
But Seattle has surpassed the 2022 homicide toll with 3 months left in 2023.
It's depressing. That's depressing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's see. Oh, Jack coming in to tell stories. Even though he's sick, he's going to come in and tell a couple stories coming in the road. And then Rye stops by to talk a little bit about what happened to Seahawks. Plus, more importantly, how disappointed I am in Seahawks fans. I have evidence. I sent it to you, Joe Mama. Did you see the picture of the woman standing with jacket on?
I congratulated her. Facebook and Instagram.
Yes, I congratulated her. She is walking up. The game's practically over. She's heading up. She's going. She walks by me. I said, excuse me. Good job. Way to cheer the whole time. Way to stand. And she's like, yes, your voice is all sore.
Said, she think you were making fun of her?
No.
Yeah, she appreciated it. Okay, that's good.
Yeah. You know why it is? The ticket prices are so high now. You're not getting that same rabid fan that you used to have. Talk about all that and a little bit more. All righty, here we go. John Curley, Sherry Elliger Show, Sherry out. Sherry back tomorrow. Jake in there. And, oh, boy. Mr. Jack Stein, who drove 800 miles all the way from the confines of his little home, hovel that he lived in California.
That's right. Thank you, John.
Come to an even smaller hovel here in Seattle.
Hey, I mean, John, I invited you over to my apartment the other day, but you said you had to go hang out with Patrick Moynihan, so you completely avoided hanging out with me.
Pat Moynihan, you mean the guy from Train? I was not hanging out. I was on a plane with him, and I recognized him, and then I tried to act like, you know, I'm one of him. You know, one of his, like, hanging. And only his wife was nice. Pat was nice, too, but I could tell he didn't really want to talk to me. And then I wrote you afterwards, and I said, "Hey, you doing anything?" You're like, "I'm sick." So I guess just the thought of moving to Seattle has somehow sickened you.
That's true. Yes.
So what'd you learn on the road, and had a chance to think about the big decision to move here and set up new shop and take the official duties as the 3-6 show?
I don't think
I'm sorry.
Three to six.
Wow.
Nice.
Wow.
I don't think I learned anything, John. I think I caught a horrible illness that's not COVID. And what I did see, though, John, is the middle of the middle, like Central California, Central Oregon, Central Washington. I can see why those people feel like they've been left out of the equation when it comes to culture or politics or whatever it might be. Because you drive through Central California, listening to local conservative radio or local Christian radio or whatever it might be. There's that's a completely different world than I am used to interacting with. This is completely, I'm a pretty conservative guy myself, but I'm not that conservative.
What are you talking about, like Bakersfield, Fresno?
Chico, Paradise, Shasta County, anywhere in Central Oregon.
Oh, Shasta, you know, beautiful.
Real. So, John, I don't think I told you this, but did I tell you that the power went out when I was driving the U-Haul?
The power went out on the U-Haul?
Yeah, so I'm driving the U-Haul, and I'm driving this just on the outside of Yreka, California, which is not Eureka, California. It's Yreka, California, which I had no idea was a thing. And I had lived in California for like 30 years. So I'm just on the outskirts of that. I'm driving through Central Oregon. And my phone is my navigation device, and it's running out of battery. I go, I'll plug it in. So the U-Haul, which was built in, I'm assuming, like 1998, has been retrofitted with a little USB charging port built into the dash. So I plug in my thing, my charging cord, to the USB port, and then boom, all the power goes out in the cab. So the speedometer and the radio, all the lights are off. There is not any electricity going to the cab, but the speedometer is still working. And the lights are still on in the front of the, so I can still drive, and I'm not stopping in no man's land, right? Because there's no one around me for hundreds of miles.
Is the engine still running?
The engine is still running, and the radio is still going.
Yeah, I've heard of this. So what it does is that allows you to focus entirely on your device and the road in front of you.
Oh.
It's a safety thing. Yes.
Okay, but then why did the lights on the radio turn off? And why did that, why did? But here's the thing. The radio is still on, and I'm still getting Christian radio. And John, you know me. I love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But I'm listening.
Take the wheel.
I'm listening to this pastor talk about how Satan is a gossip, and how or Satan loves a gossip.
That's true. Yes.
And it's thank you, Jake.
Amen.
And so I am listening to this guy just berate his audience about specifically the women in the audience that he was talking to about how Satan loves a gossip. And Satan loves it. If you're using your tongue to gossip, then you're using your tongue to talk to Satan.
Yes.
And I realized about 10 minutes into it, I'm starting to fall asleep because I'm so bored. And there's no lights on, that there's nothing. So I'm going into a hypnotic trance. So I start talking to my radio out loud just to keep myself awake to prevent myself from falling asleep while driving, because I've been driving for like 10 hours at that point. So I'm conversing with this guy as if he's you, John, as if he's
you. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Right. And so I'm trying to keep myself awake through this before I get to the meth hotel, which was the worst decision I had ever made in my life, was to stay at that
hotel.
Is this
still in Yreka?
This is somewhere in Oregon. I don't want to say the name of the establishment, but it was the kind of hotel where no carpeting.
It was Klamath Falls, wasn't it?
And close.
I got bed bugs in Klamath Falls once.
It was the kind of, I checked the place for bed bugs. I checked it to make sure that there were no bed bugs in the anywhere, but no carpeting.
Is this Rogue River Canyon? Is that where you're at?
Oh, I'm not going
to
tell you guys.
Okay, everybody.
Everything is
about falling asleep while listening to the radio. Let them finish.
Everything is bolted down to the floor of the hotel because they don't want people to steal anything.
The
convenience soaps that they give people, you know how normally you get shampoo and conditioner and body wash? This was all in one soap. So it's like what they use for horses, right?
It bolts it down. Yeah. That's crazy.
It's like mane and tail in the hotel room. And so I'm thinking to myself, like, what is going on in Oregon where they live like this? And it was just interesting for me to see that side of the country, because everywhere that I've ever lived in my life has always been these liberal bastions of I don't know what you want to call it, just a different way of living. And then when you're in Central Oregon, and if somebody has 70% of their teeth, it's the dentist, you know what I mean? Like, there's something that's miraculous about seeing and I'm not trying to be like, you know, I don't know, like talking down about those people.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't sound like it.
Thank you, Jake.
No, not at all. No. What was the preacher saying about gossip? Go ahead.
Satan,
keep talking.
Satan, exactly. Thank you, John. But it was the most like kind of down home country people, very trusting people, very friendly people.
Sounds like a bunch of idiots,
right? I didn't get any attitude from any of the gas station attendants, and or just the nicest people in Central California, Central Oregon, and Central Washington, which I thought was really interesting.
Did Bonneville Cairo give you a moving allowance? Did you try to pocket any of that?
Well, okay, so. They did give me a moving allowance to do, but I'm going to pull the old John Curley when it comes to the moving allowance, which is that I'm saving all my receipts, and then I'm going to go to my tax guy, and I'm going to dump them out on his desk, and I'm going to say, whatever is illegal, put me right underneath that when it comes to my tax return, and we'll see. We'll just roll the dice.
There's
and we'll just
avoidance
see how it goes.
And evasion.
Yes.
Evasion, you're in prison. Avoidance, you're keeping more of the money that you deserve rather than giving it to the government.
And I will say this, John, that to have been in a state where it's 13% income tax, and then you come to a state where full time, where you're an official resident now, you're not just a part timer, and you get to keep all your money. That is such a blessing to be in Washington State, because I was getting taxed at something like the 45 to 50 percentile. It's insane how much I pay in taxes.
Well, don't worry. The income tax is coming. They've got the imaginary capital gains tax. So they will get you eventually the income. But don't worry. We'll screw you over the sales tax. And if you're lucky, somebody will steal something out of your apartment or off of your body or out of a car that you get. One quick philosophical question for you. Having done this before, changed markets, driven from Grand Junction to Champaign-Urbana and all the other spots in between.
Yeah.
As you're driving, you're thinking, wow, this is a major life change for you to take the risk, to come in, to take over for the beloved Dory Monson, to do that show.
Yeah.
Were you thinking about that? Like, man, this...
Yeah,
this is big.
Yeah, I thought about, we don't have the time to go into it, John, but we can tell. I thought about when Dory called me when I quit Cairo, and we talked for like 2 hours, and he was begging me to stay, and he was like, what can I do to convince you to stay at the station? And I said, I don't know, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it at some point in time in the future. I thought a lot about that phone call that I had with Dory about how he was just so loving and so kind and was like, you're so talented, I want you to be here, you deserve to be here. You know, I thought a lot about that. You know, the 2 hours that I got to talk to my buddy about the radio business. And also I thought about you, John, and you texting me to get my U-Haul out of the left lane. Thanks for that advice, John. I appreciate that.
I love the governor that they put on that thing, so you can't go any faster than like 60 miles an hour.
Oh, it's awful. I was getting passed by 18-wheelers. I was getting passed by little old ladies giving me the ugliest, dirtiest looks.
Now that you've moved, are you going to ever move yourself again? Or are you going to pay somebody?
I'm going to do the John Curley. I'm going to pay somebody else.
Yeah,
I don't
buddy.
Care how much it costs, and then I'm going to write it off in taxes.
Isn't it the worst?
It's the worst.
It's the worst.
Well, as we've all seen the ratings for all the shows, you know, I wouldn't unpack that U-Haul yet.
Thank you, John. I appreciate that. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. All right. Jack Stein, settle in, get better, and get that U-Haul back. Here we are. John Curley, Sherry Elliger Show. Jake, thank you for sitting in for Sherry. Sherry should be back tomorrow. Had a chance to watch the Seahawks beating the Panthers yesterday.
That's a fun game.
Concerned. Well, yeah, great game. I haven't been to a game in a while. Rye's been to a bunch of them. Used to go to them all the time. And the one thing I noticed as I came up to Rye, he's sitting back there, section 207, row V, seat 10 and 11. It's the fact that I go, Rye, what are you doing? He goes, I'm sitting. I said, why are you sitting? Why is it? He goes, everybody else is sitting. And the guy in front of me had, a jersey on, old Seahawks jersey. Younger guy, I tapped him on the shoulder. I said, what are you guys sitting for? He said, his father's had season tickets since the beginning. He goes, people just don't stand anymore.
Is it because the games are too long?
No.
I mean, that makes sense in baseball maybe, but not football.
No, you stay on defense. Seahawks on defense, you stand.
Yeah.
You stand.
Well, you're supposed
everybody, to. Everybody, yeah. Well, not supposed, just it was part of the culture.
That's 12th man,
everybody
right?
Everybody around us. Yeah, everybody around. I went like two rows down. This guy's sitting there. I said, what are you doing? Get up. Because if they get up, other people get up. Everybody gets up. And people were just sitting.
So you're running around trying to rally everyone. They think you're crazy or being just annoying because you're telling people to stand up. They just want to sit and watch a game.
But that's not what you do. When the Seahawks are on defense, you stand. So I happen to mention at the beginning of the show here, and Joe Mama says that Facebook people, what are they writing in? They're saying
There's a few different, there's a variety of comments. One, here's an actual response.
Okay, wait, hold on. To cover some of your weird, squeaky voice.
Yeah.
Andrew, some NFL music may sound like we're doing real radio here. Here we go.
Okay, Dwayne says, I was sitting two rows in front of you. If you want to stand for the whole game, don't sit on the club level. They do that in the 100s. We stood down there in the rain for 10 years before upgrading. I happen to enjoy being able to sit and not get rained on. A couple of people...
I was Troy the guy on the end with the earplugs? That's the question.
I don't know. Dwayne, two rows up from you, apparently.
Okay, Dwayne, yes.
A couple people commented on how Rye is just like carbon copy of you.
Okay, that's not what we're talking about. That's a genetic thing.
Let's keep to the point.
Let's land this.
Okay, you should have visited our section, 325, seats 21, 22. We stand up the entire game. Go Hawks.
So why aren't people standing? Give me the long and short of it. Why aren't they standing?
My theory, the guy in front of me who's been going to all the games, his dad had tickets. He's a younger guy. He said to me, I think he's in the late 20s. He said, what's happened is the price of the tickets are so high that the real fans are not in those sections anymore. That it's sort of a social thing to go to the game. You kind of go and, oh, hey, look, let's have a beer, blah, 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 blah. Oh, let's sit. Oh, well, you know, let's see. There was a woman 6 rows, 10 rows in front of me. I sent you the video of her, Joe.
Yeah.
Joe Mama. And she's standing. The lady in the green, she stood. Other people around stood. And you could see people, like, when we were on defense, like, come on, guys, get up, get up, get up.
So who's all this? Who's all this 12th man talk then? Everybody says there's the best.
That's the 300 section.
But when you watch it on the game, they go, boy, these 12th men are really out today. That's why they have eight false starts.
Even Pete Carroll was up.
That's one section, you're telling me? Just one section is doing that?
It's the John section.
Something I noticed. Something I noticed.
A lot of people questioning your son's taste in beer, too, by the way.
The guy, Jerry, or Jim, who sold him a beer, said to him, can I see your driver's license? Or Rye goes, I got a passport. He looks at it, he goes, wow, just turned 21. Is this your first beer? And Rye says, yes. He hands Rye the little credit card thing. Rye looks at the price. He goes, my first beer here and my last. Presses the button for $13. And one guy came by and said, hey, you owe me a beer. So I bought him 2 beers because he said that to me 3 years ago and I didn't buy him one. So, yeah, well worth it, though.
But they won. Rye's coming on. That's great.
What's that?
They won.
Yeah.
Seahawks won. So we feel good about that.
I know, but I'd like to hear from other people. Either go to the game. Is the theory that just the people there in the club section just don't stand because they don't need to or were in the wrong section? I was just disappointed. Just disappointed.
Maybe they were just nervous around your celebrity. Right?
Oh, yeah.
They didn't want to offend you in any way.
I saw the guy from Home Improvement. What's his name?
Tim Allen?
Kearns. Kern? What's his name?
Oh, the guy, the sidekick.
Al Borland.
Yeah.
Does he still have a beard?
Yes. Yeah.
Good for him. He's sticking with it.
All the celebrities were there.